Glad you could join us today. My name is Charles Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my son Daniel. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We are in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Daniel, today we're taking a little bit different format. I'm the interviewer, you're the interviewee. But this came out of just some thoughts that we've had in our conversations, and especially regarding the gospel itself. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we think of the gospel, we think of Jesus died for your sins, trust right. Jesus, you go to heaven. But there is the gospel proper that Christ died for sinners, and that those who trust him, their sins are forgiven, and they are their eternity is in heaven. There's also the gospel in a broader sense, and that is what we talk about when we're talking about gospel living.
Right.
And the gospel is for living, not just for salvation, but it's for sanctification and growth. And sometimes in our conferences, the conferences we've been to, conferences around, in our desire to help people, we come up with a lot of stuff for people to do, a lot of stuff to help people that not necessarily spelled out in Scripture, not necessarily bad in and of itself, right. But it becomes sort of almost gospel in itself, and maybe we need to be careful of what the Pharisees did, and Jesus clearly accused them of creating burdens
right.
that were too heavy to be borne, in fact, that they couldn't even bear themselves. So maybe you just begin by sharing a little bit of your personal experience with that.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is born out of a conversation that you and I got into probably a couple weeks ago, and we've done a lot of discussing about. You know, my own personal experience in this is that, first of all, I think I made the phrase a comment to you. I said it's not complicated.
Right. That's
okay.
Exactly right.
And it's not. I mean, in one sense, the complexity of God's salvation in our heart, and the fact that He would save our sins. I mean, trying to figure that out is
that's a whole lot to that.
Yeah, it just blows your mind away. So in some ways, that's kind of complicated. But really, when you look at it just in its basic form, it's not complicated. And you know, in my own personal experience, I remember a time actually when I was. I can't remember the age. That's
You were 18.
No, I wasn't actually. I wasn't 18. It was younger than that, but I don't remember exactly when it was. We had just gotten back from a conference, and from that conference, there was afforded to us some opportunities for me personally, and I was kind of wanting to do those. And I think you and I were at the house. We had just gotten in, and we were talking about doing them. And of course, they're fresh in my mind. And, you know, you made the comment to me, you said, well, right now I just don't feel like that's the right timing. We need to see a little bit more maturity in you, and which means I probably would have been around the 12 to 13 mark, you know. And so, but anyway, we were talking there, and I just remember that sticking in my mind. And I had, you were a pastor, and we live right next to a church. And for some reason, I had to go over to the church. It's funny how your memory mm-hmm. can bring this stuff back. But I had to go over to the church for some reason. And there was a field right between our house and the church, mm-hmm. right behind our house. And so I walked across that field, and I can remember very distinctly talking to myself, saying, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to be more mature. You know, just kind of almost like I'm going to psych myself up, and I'm going to do mm-hmm. this. And I don't really remember what happened to that in the next couple years. I know I struggle with my own assurance of salvation and going forward. But I just remember very distinctly thinking, I'm going to fix this. And I'm going to do this. And the thing about it is, it's not about us. Mm-hmm. It's not about what I can do and conjure up in my heart and mind mm-hmm. in order to accomplish something. You know, and there's nothing wrong with some steps of action. I think they're helpful. They set a course. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we look at the steps of action as the means of grace themselves.
Or at the end of itself.
The end of itself. Yeah, maybe I should say. As opposed to looking to the grace of God.
Yeah.
And His forgiveness upon our lives. And so that was a personal experience that I remember. And have, you know, worked through that as I've grown in my faith. I don't believe I was a Christian until I was around 17. And so then just growing in that, you know, so that's kind of a personal experience that I can think of.
Right. I know, and you mentioned assurance. I struggled with assurance from the time I was 9 years old when I first made a profession of faith until years later, even up into adulthood. But, you know, the truth is we can't give ourselves assurance.
No, we can't.
I had guys that will do this. if you'll do this, right. Maybe you just need to spend the time alone with the Lord, fasting and praying. And, you know, well, I did that.
And you wouldn't bring insurance.
It didn't happen.
It didn't matter what I did. Yeah. I couldn't get assurance. And that's the thing. It's not about what you do.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You know.
I told a congregation at one time I was preaching, and I said, why couldn't I get assurance? I said, because I was looking at the wrong thing.
Right.
You know. Well, when our conversation, and I want to go back to that conversation we had a couple of weeks or so ago, and we were talking about this whole thing. I think we were focusing on the issue of a clear conscience. And,
right.
But
forgiveness, dealing with past bitterness.
Dealing with
and
past
stuff,
offenses and that sort of thing. But you brought up the woman that was caught in adultery. And you made the comment, I guess you were having an AT&T moment or something. So, well, it's not complicated.
Right.
And maybe you could just respond to that or think that through with our listeners.
What we were talking about is that sometimes when we deal with people who have bitterness mm-hmm. or who have issues that they need to deal with, which we all have had that on a certain level,
mm-hmm.
some are deeper than others, some long-rooted mm-hmm. dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about how it's like there's this one cookie cutter size fix all.
Mm-hmm.
And we fail to let people see that they are forgiven
mm-hmm.
at the foot of the cross and that they can then in turn forgive others. They have the power to do which they could never do before.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think we fail to point people to Jesus when it comes to dealing with bitterness. We fail to point people to the forgiveness of Christ. We fail to point people to the cross. Now, I understand, and I'm going to get to the story about the harlot there, or the woman caught in adultery. But I understand that people, get at the cross and they realize, I understand where people are at in that whole thing. Okay. But coming to the lady caught in adultery, okay,
right.
You look at that and you realize he picks her up and he says,
yeah, what does he say to her?
He says, go and sin no more.
Yeah, where are your accusers? Yeah.
And I'm like, where were the steps?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying there's nothing that can't be worked through, right. And there's issues we have to work through. And
it would be wise to do this.
Right, somebody's been sexually abused. There's some major things you have to work through
there.
Yeah,
sure.
Just some major things. But when you look at the woman caught in adultery, it's very simplistic. And he's also not requiring her to try to go find all these men that she has slept with for the last whoever knows how long.
Right.
And try to make it right with
them. She was a harlot.
Now, she may have done that. I don't know.
We don't know. That's the thing.
But here's the problem. She slept with so many that she probably can't even remember.
She know all of them?
You know, and I've heard that.
That's the heinousness of it.
Yeah, and I've heard that preached and I've heard that taught where, you know, you need to go back. You need to try to find all those people you're wrong. And if you can find them, I say go for it.
If you can. Yeah.
If they're in your community in town and it's like, there they are.
But there are times when it may not be appropriate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, would it have been appropriate for her to go back to all those men that she had been sexually involved with?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I look at that story and I go, wow, all Christ does is he picks her up off the dirt. She was about to be stoned, and if you can imagine, all these rocks are laying around on the ground.
Yeah, they all left.
They had all left after he had done his, you know, little like, you know, just slapped him in the face, you know, and he says, you know, where are your accusers? And she can't see them.
Yeah.
And he says, go and sin no more.
There are none. Yeah.
You're forgiven.
Neither do I condemn thee.
And we don't teach people in dealing with bitterness how or the need to forgive what true forgiveness is at the foot of the cross.
Right. And where it is. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And where it's found at. Yeah. And so that was part of my discussion. It's not complicated.
Right. Yeah. That's
the
true.
Forgiveness of Christ is simple. You've done nothing. And he has done everything.
Right.
And giving you the ability to, in turn, to forgive as he has forgiven you.
Well, so, in your estimation then, and obviously, we have to speak humbly, but how do we apply the gospel then in our living?
Mm-hmm.
Not just for salvation, but in our living.
Well, anyone who knows me well, any of my friends, people I've traveled with and done stuff with, done Bible studies with, I get that question a lot because I talk about this a lot. It's something that's strong and important upon my heart. And which is good, because there's a practical aspect in outworking of the gospel and how we live it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've given some time and thought to that. And for instance, we'll just stick with the issue of forgiveness. A very fundamental aspect of the gospel is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. It's maybe the central
issue. Or maybe we can move to another one. How about service?
Yeah.
A very fundamental aspect of what Christ did to his disciples when he washed their feet before he's going to the cross.
Yeah.
You know, he became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross.
But he did what only the lowly do. He washed their manure-covered feet.
And he also said he made himself as a servant. Well, the connotations of that in the historical settings in which they're in are just like huge.
Yeah.
So all that to say is that when we start digging into the story of the gospel, when we start digging into the different truths of the gospel, then we start realizing those implications.
Yeah.
So how was Christ a servant?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to emulate Christ as he was a servant. Oh, he washed people's feet.
Yeah.
Oh, how did Christ forgive? Oh, he picks up a harlot off the ground.
Yeah.
Or he tells the tax collector, you know, I'm going to go to your house today.
Yeah.
And then he tells him salvation has come to his house, you know.
Yeah.
So I start thinking about all those things, and I'm like, all we need to do is go to the Gospels, go to the teachings of Paul, and read where Christ and how he lived it out before us, even before he went to the cross.
Paul did that. You know, I thought of Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And he says similar things in Colossians. So it's gospel motivation, as our brother Sinclair Ferguson says, gospel motivation for
women. Yeah. Yeah, and I just, so, you know, really trying to answer that question, what does it mean to live the gospel? I think all we have to do is look at the life of Christ. And that's what Paul does. That's all Paul does is you read Colossians, Ephesians. He just talks about what Christ did. And then, like in Ephesians, as soon as he gets doing that, he starts turning around, starts talking about the family, starts talking about like a boss relationship.
Yeah.
Well, we would consider a boss relationship, but now it's servant and master.
Slave,
he starts talking about children and parent relationships and husband and wife.
And
you're
just
like,
and
the church. And you're like, no, that's gospel living.
Yeah.
You know, not somebody who walks up and says, I've got 7 ways to overcome anger. Okay. What does that mean?
Yeah.
So I overcame my anger. What did I accomplish? Am I doing it so that I overcome anger? Or am I doing it because I am redeemed? I know God's grace and I want Him to be glorified because I emulate who He is.
Yeah, so what we come to here is that we lean on the gospel. We trust Christ and His gospel, not just for salvation, but for sanctification, for growth. We grow in the gospel. Everything, every bit of our growth is growth in the gospel.
It is. It is, you know, and this is something that, it's been a journey for me, you know, because I go all the way back to that story that I was telling at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And that story, obviously I remember it. I remember what I was thinking. But now I think about what God has brought me in this point in my life, where I'm viewing His grace and His mercy toward me. And when I'm dealing with, you know, a situation in my own life, maybe I'm struggling with a sin. Maybe it's not, I'm not getting along with somebody at work, or maybe I'm struggling with the lust of the flesh, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I draw myself back to the things that Christ has done and how He lived His life. Mm-hmm.
The gospel truth.
Exactly. Yeah. And I start remembering those things and I start going, okay, this is the person I want to emulate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we won't talk about emulating our heroes, but honestly, it's Christ and Christ alone. Christ behind me, Christ before me,
Christ
in
my life.
Me. Yeah. Christ my life. You can't say it enough.
Yeah.
And so just looking at that story and seeing where God's brought me, I think just it brings some... well, praise be to God, you know, and I hopefully people who are listening to this, they see what it means to be gospel living, or at least it sparks something and they start on the journey themselves.
And we start thinking about what it means, gospel living.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
The Bible is not just these random stories.
Right, no, exactly.
It's a story.
It's one big story, one
about
grand story.
The redemption of His people and the glory of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, as Al Morris, the meta story. So
the grand story, and we've talked about it on here before. So
I think we've given us and our listeners something to think about when it comes to gospel living, and we do thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can mail us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week for Crosstalk, the Gospel for Today and Beyond.